I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You can, like, the way they, like, deliver their lines, you can tell they want you to laugh, if that makes sense. But okay. I was sitting there like,
God forbid I ever write something and they say you can tell they want you to laugh. Yeah,
like, I did not find...
Hello, welcome to another episode of That Would Bang Podcast, where we talk about film, TV, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Adesi.
And I'm your co-host, Patricia.
And today, we are joined by an extremely talented guest. I'm very excited to have, you know what? When you actually replied to my email, I was actually very gassed. Just a little background story. I haven't even said your name, but hope there's tears flowing for everyone listening. But yeah. She's recently made the senior lifestyle reporter at PA Media. Would you like to clap for her? She's also podcast host, creator, creative genius behind Black Prose Podcast. Ooh. It's the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented, also hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Yolante Fawahimi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you for coming. How's your day been, everybody? How's your week been? How's life treating you in general?
I can start.
Okay.
I have come back. Well, the highlight of my week last week was Lisbon. So I've just had like a crazy busy couple of weeks, probably like a couple of months of work. But last week I went to Lisbon for like 4 days and that was really nice. I packed a lot into those 4 days. Got there early on Wednesday. Thursday went to Porto for the day. That was like a 3-hour train ride there and back. Friday went to Sintra and Cascais.
What's Cascais?
That's like a beach town.
How do you spell Cascais?
Yeah,
C-A-I-S.
I was going to spell as cash, like, you know, C-A-S-J.
But I find Portuguese a very confusing language. Like, I don't understand a word of Portuguese, if I'm being honest. But that was really nice. And, yeah, honestly, it felt really nice to get away. And I just feel like I need another trip to look forward to because...
You just got back. What
yeah,
holiday blues, though. When you go on holiday, you immediately feel like you want to go back again.
Yeah.
Even though you just came back.
Because everything was so beautiful and I was taking in all the scenery and like all the like sights, and it just felt like, you know what it feels like, you're being reinvigorated, like with life and stuff. I'm going to Paris in like August, but it doesn't feel like enough, do you know what I mean? Because I had friends that went to Grenada and like all over the place, so I'm like, get me out of here.
When
the money's not matching,
so. When you travel to Europe, do you feel like you've really traveled? That's the question.
I think so. Because I feel like, especially if I'm taking in new things, like when I was in Lisbon, I saw like Pena Palace, and that looked nothing like Buckingham Palace.
What's Pena
Palace? Yeah, Esther.
Not Pena.
Oh, okay.
That is too funny.
What is it?
Pena Palace is where like the old royal family used to live, and their palace is in Sintra, and it looks nothing like Buckingham Palace. Like it's in all this like foliage and greenery, and you have to like go up such a steep hill to get to it. It's like so high up, all this foliage, and it's gorgeous. Like it's so gorgeous, and I felt like seeing that, I would never see that in the UK. And all the vibe and everything, like it definitely feels different for me. But I guess a city break is always going to be like a city break at the end of the day.
Yeah, it just depends what you do, who you go with.
Yeah.
And also what you're intending to do on the holiday as well.
So what... Oh, yeah, sorry.
Because sometimes you want... Because this trip felt like being at home, away from home, if that makes sense. It felt like I was just living just somewhere else, which was like a good vibe. That was fine. But if you're looking to like unwind, relax, and just be in a completely different space, then you might want to go further afield than Europe. So...
Yeah. You just need a beach.
Yeah.
That makes you feel like you're further away from home.
Let's break down this beach idea, that beach is holiday. Guys, how many of you spend your whole time on the beach when you're on holiday?
No. I don't.
Exactly. Even when you get to the beach, after you sat there for a little bit,
just what, look.
Yeah.
What happens?
You like, can, you read.
I don't know, because I feel like people spend their whole year building summer body for that beach pic, for that beach situation. Then you get to the beach and then it's hot. The sand is burning you. You don't know how to end, what to do. A lot of people can't even swim. Can you swim?
I can actually swim, but I... Okay, let me explain. I can swim, but when I can't feel my feet, I start to panic. When I can't feel the bottom of the swimming pool, for example, I start to feel like, whoa, am I going to like sink?
Yeah.
But I was doing swimming lessons at one point though.
How old are you when you did them?
No, like recently, like...
Oh, as in this is now?
Yeah, yeah. Because I wanted to like brush up my skills a bit more. Yeah. But it was like 10 block lessons and I haven't renewed my...
Why? Why didn't you renew?
Life, you know.
That's why.
Life.
Swimming gives you abs, guys. Did you know that?
It's really good for fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Works everything.
Because
you're literally fighting for your whole life to not drown the whole time. Yeah. Of course you'll be fit. Of course. But yeah, how was your week though? What did you do?
I feel like I've been very go, 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 go. Mm. Because I've started a new job, I'm adjusting to their pace. It's very different.
Mm.
It's a lot more demanding. So like now I'm just like, that. For example, I ate my lunch in the evening, which is very unlike me. I normally take my full hour, but it's like so intense.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just trying to be patient with myself to adjust, get used to the new routine. Yeah. But I think it's been a good week.
So then what would you say, what's your dream thing to write?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I know.
I tweeted this maybe a few weeks ago that I would love to go on tour with artists write about the BTS of touring. Because I feel like it's actually so taxing. Like, for example, Beyonce, she's on tour. She's taking 2-day break between each thing. Her voice hasn't cracked. Like, how are you... What do you do? Okay, obviously, we're seeing her, like, on holiday and stuff. But what do you do behind the scenes? How do you, like, protect your mind? And how's the rehearsals?
Yeah.
Are there arguments? How do you deal with conflict? Are the dancers, like... Has someone annoyed someone? I just want to be a fly on the wall and document that. Because I really like narrative nonfiction, but I also love fiction as well.
Yeah.
What else do I love to write?
Is there a particular artist? Just
who
is
it? Ooh, I haven't actually got a particular artist in mind. Yeah, anyone that will take me.
Say anyone.
Say your expectations just now.
That's how people send you their EPs.
I don't know. I think someone that is at a stage in their career where they've hit, they feel like they're at their high, just because then there's more context to everything. If that makes sense.
So is this like a Beyonce or is this like a Stormzy?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind like a Beyonce. I wouldn't mind a Stormzy.
Yeah.
I hear it.
Yeah.
I hear it.
That's one thing I would like to do. There's so many like ideas that I've always have like roaming around, but sometimes you don't know if they're good ideas or not. But there's one story that I've been trying to write. I really want to write a piece about God being in the metaverse. So I've kind of written it, but it hasn't got a home sort of thing.
What's the concept?
So it's the whole thing of how church attendance has gone down, well, since the pandemic, and people started to go to the metaverse to church.
Really?
Like this. So I've attended church services in the metaverse.
Wait, you use the metaverse?
Yeah, because for the story, I've done like research and I've gone to church
Did
services.
You use a headset?
That one, I didn't have all that stuff, no.
Okay. Wait, so then how did it work?
So that there's a 3D and there's 2D. Okay. So I joined via the 2D version of, it's called Alt Space. Mm-hmm. There's different VR, virtual reality platforms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just very interesting. But I can't do it though. I can't be going to church.
Avatar, so were they all worshiping weebies? Like.
Yeah, and like the sermon is very interactive. So the pastor was... attend the sermon, but that there's water behind him, so it's demonstrating what the scripture is saying. Like, you'll see the scripture be like erected out of the ground, so it's like you can read it in 3D.
That's so interesting.
But yeah, that's one story I want to do.
That is very interesting.
There's a few, but I just feel like you just have to sit with things sometimes.
Yeah, let him marinate it.
Yeah.
The future looks very interesting.
Scary.
I'm scared, man. I'm very even black because we were going to talk about Black Mirror, but you said you wanted to watch from season one.
Yeah, because I haven't actually watched it before.
You actually don't. You can watch from any episode. It's an anthology series, so like each episode is standalone. But I think when you watch season one, you'll realize how they just predicted a lot of what we're living now. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Very scary.
Yeah.
I find that really weird when. Like screenwriters predict stuff, like the Simpsons guy.
I was just about to say, but there's so many examples of that as well. Like, does he know something we don't? Is he a time traveler? I don't understand how you could predict that much. Yeah.
The Simpsons one, I can't say. But a lot of like screenwriters, what would happen is that they come up with an idea, and then like scientists will look at it and be like, let's try that. If that makes sense. So if things catch up, but the Simpsons ones, those ones are very like,
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't know.
Do you know what is really terrifying to me? This whole AI thing. Mm-hmm. And not in like in a, what's the word I'm looking for? Because you know how it can be helpful, like people use it for essays and research. Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, like you see those videos on like TikTok and social media and it's people like deepfake. Like there's a whole show on ITV, for example.
That show that's got like Kardashian's so face. Oh, okay, not that show, sorry.
Is it The Capture?
Wrong show. Yes,
that show. The Capture's really good. I love that show. That was scary. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
But have you not seen the ITV? They advertise it like after Love Island.
And yeah, I've like seen it, but I just don't take it seriously. I find it weird.
It's really weird, but it's weird that you can do that as well.
So then, do you feel like we have to get to a point where we copyright our faces, or we have to copyright our body? Do you get what I mean?
I think it's too late. We have face. What's that thing?
Recognition.
Yeah, I think they have too much data off. That's of us.
Yeah.
Like even that whole thing of data privacy and data protection. I'm like, I don't know. There's no point asking me about it because you've got everything already.
Yeah.
Like you've got everything about me. You know where I live. There's cameras. Like
all these Ring doorbells as well.
Exactly. Everything. There's collecting so much data. Even like when you do the face recognition. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're doing. They've got everything.
Your thumbprints, they have it all.
Like even Siri, that whole thing of like Siri listens to us. I actually believe it. You know,
that's the truth. You can turn it off there. You can turn like even because everyone that has an Alexa and Google Home, like I've turned off my mic with both of them because
you can turn off mics.
Yeah,
now must be recording me. So can you not speak to it anymore?
No, I don't talk to my Google Home. Why am I talking to a robot? But 5 years' time, this won't age well. Do you get what I mean? Like, everyone will be talking to robots. But yeah, me this week, what have I done? I went to the theatre. I watched Schoolgirls. Have you watched it yet?
Not yet.
How is it?
So good. So apparently Anna Wintour went. She went to go and watch
really?
It.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Culture babe.
Yeah. I wonder if she like hid. Like, you know, some people don't want to be known that they're there.
Yeah.
But someone must have saw her.
She know people saw her. People are like, oh my gosh, I saw her. And I feel like you can't, she can't. She's hi. Wearing sunglasses.
That's so true. And because she's in London, she wants to do all the things that are culturally relevant.
100%. So yeah, it was really good, really funny. Really, really funny. It's set in like a secondary school in the 80s at a boarding school in Ghana. And it was just so funny because it felt so realistic. Like, Africans, when Africans insult you, you feel it in your spirit, you feel it in your soul.
Yeah.
And I felt like everyone watching that felt the insults deeply. It was really good.
Was there any particular insults?
I don't want to repeat.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to repeat. But it's like, that a lot of the insults were insulting, but it's like, you'd hear that in Nigeria or Ghana. You can't say that in the UK.
Oh,
do you get what I mean?
Okay, fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was just funny. It was just funny. Really good play. Really, really good play. Yeah.
Do you know what play I did end up seeing?
Oh.
For All the Boys.
For Black Boys?
Yeah, for Black Boys.
Oh, girl. All the Boys.
Yeah, I don't know why I was mixing it up with the rom-com. But I don't think I loved it. I might have been the only person
sorry, to wasn't,
think that.
I wasn't actually expecting that. That took me aback a bit.
Because everyone I've spoken to has really loved it, but I just don't think I've really kind of felt moved by it. I didn't really cry, I didn't really laugh, I didn't really think, I don't think I really got the message it was intended to kind of like portray. I mean, I obviously understood it, but I just don't know personally for me, like if I felt it went deep enough almost, and sometimes I felt like it was,
you want that to beat,
of, what, no, what? No, like some of it was actually really poignant, like when he was talking about kind of, one of the characters was talking about kind of an experience with an older woman, kind of thinking, oh, you know, this was a great first time, but actually not right at all. So that was like really deep and really powerful and stuff. But other times I felt like the dialogue was kind of just taking bits of like what you say on social media almost. And like some bits I just felt like just didn't really like land with me. I don't know what it was, but I was kind of sitting there thinking I thought it was going to be more than what it was.
But I don't know. I feel like also, especially because of social media, our expectations for art things is so like up here.
True.
Yeah. Because everyone's literally like, it's like a echo chamber. Everyone's saying this.
Yeah.
And then when you watch, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And maybe if you didn't have any expectation, maybe you would have,
yeah,
I don't know, you'll be able to go in with like a cleaner slate.
Mind, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because sometimes it's a bit annoying. Like even with Succession, I haven't watched season 4 yet. But on that day, when season 4 came out, I was dodging everything. I had to mute. But that doesn't even really work.
Yeah, it always seeps through, literally. I just wait. Like, I have not gone back into season 4. I'm just gonna leave it a couple months and go back in so I can kind of get everything.
Succession, guys, I feel like it's a show that requires you to be thinking so much when you're watching it.
You have to be in the mood. I have to be in the mood. That's why I haven't watched it yet.
So fast, and everything's going.
The camera's like,
before you blink, three jokes have been said, and you've missed it.
I love the jokes.
Don't you think so?
It's so true.
Like, so yeah, Succession. That's my my dad watches it, and he's proper into it. And every time I try, I'm like, I feel like I have to be in school, like very intentionally watching. Yeah, I'm okay.
And the episodes are quite long.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's a slow burner though.
It is. It took me, I think, 2 goes to like actually get into
two goes.
Oh, like to try like it twice.
2 tries to get into it.
It's a slow burner.
What does that mean? 2 goes? Like two?
And then I kept starting it and then stopping and falling out, and then I had to start again.
The fact that you went back, you're better than me.
I really wanted to understand it. I really wanted to understand why everyone loved it.
It's so good.
It is. I find it really. It's clever. I don't understand all the business side of things. I'm just like, okay, that deal went well. This deal didn't go well, but I don't really understand the economics behind it. I'll be so real with you.
I feel like we're not meant to.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a backdrop for everything. Yeah. It's to make everything stand out more, all the nonsense.
I'm here for the dynamics.
Yeah, that's just like the background that holds
the money, the rich, all of that.
Kendall reminds me of a cross between Matt Hancock and the guy from Meta. The one that...
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Really? You mean how he looks or just his character?
Just vibe as well, because you know how he's a bit like stiff.
Yeah, but then he starts doing really yo-yo and rapping.
Is he giving Matt Hancock?
That guy, his arc is so interesting. How did you end up on I'm a Celebrity? Anyway.
Questions that need answering.
Anyway. Ooh, speaking of politics.
Oh, that's a good segue.
I thought it was an amazing segue.
The Diplomat. Woo! For anyone who doesn't know what The Diplomat is, it is a political thriller on Netflix, which follows an ambassador for the US as she kind of has to defuse an international crisis, but also come to terms with being in the limelight a bit more, and also her relationship with her husband, or maybe soon to be ex-husband. So that is The Diplomat, and what did you guys think of it?
Similar to you with Succession, it took me a while to get into.
Yeah.
So I tried it twice as well. I give myself twice for any show, and after that, I'm not forcing myself to do anything. Yeah. I really, really...
Wait, twice as in of the first episode or twice?
Of the first episode. Okay. And if I just can't...
Mm-hmm. You just give up.
Just give it, leave it alone. I really enjoyed it. It's so serious, but so interesting at the same time. I think what I really did love was that the relationship between the husband and wife, and just how he's grappling with his own thing of being almost pushed aside, and then also she's one trying to prove him wrong, doesn't like the limelight, but likes the job, but doesn't like the job. And then her husband is in a weird way helping her. He's actually loves that he's helping her, but hates it at the same time.
It's a really weird dynamic. I get the sense that she's trying to like forge her own lane a bit, because obviously like she's kind of been catapulted into this expectation to kind of bridge this gap. And she clearly is a bit more of a trailblazer, like the fact that she like took off her heels and walking around, like she clearly doesn't fit the mold of what people expect her to be. And I think that's probably where the discomfort comes from, because she's just like, I know I can do this and I know I can do that, but it's just sort of like, is it like how it needs to look like for these other people? I don't know. But Yeah, what did you think, Adesi?
So you said it was a thriller. I thought it was a comedy. Is it not a comedy?
I don't think the genre is officially a comedy, but they were throwing in jokes. There was, I didn't find it funny though.
Yeah, but I was like, I knew I was meant to laugh then.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not.
Who would you say is funny? The husband, or I'm trying to think who's funny.
No, everyone, they all have their quips, one-liners. Yeah. Like, they all have they throw in there.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. You can, like, the way they, like, deliver their lines, you can tell they want you to laugh, if that makes sense. But okay. I was sitting there like,
God forbid I ever write something and they say you can tell they want you to laugh. Yeah,
like, I do not find...
Actually, that's a problem.
I'm trying to think, did I find myself laughing?
Well, you did you ever find yourself at the edge of your seat?
At the edge of my seat? No. Mm-mm. I was just curious to know what is going to happen.
It's curiosity. I agree.
Yeah. It's like...
I tried to start watching it after the other one. Oh my gosh.
Why the Recruit?
I think it is.
Maybe the one on Netflix with Noah Centineo?
No.
Okay, I'm wrong.
That one. Oh is it, my gosh.
I think in which... What's the storyline?
Oh, it's basically this guy that does the phone line in the White House, basically.
That's really good.
What was it called?
What was it called? It's not The Caller. It's something about that job.
Yeah.
The night agent.
The night agent.
Oh no, guys, I tried the night agent. What the heck? Pause. That looked like NCIS.
Wait, why didn't you like it?
It looked like NCIS. It looked like daytime television. Guys, really? What are we talking about?
Sorry.
I watched episode one.
It was good.
I watched episode one and I said, why does this feel like I'm watching Channel 5 on Netflix? You don't agree?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I should give it that second chance that you guys have.
I thought it was really sick.
No, it was
very like dramatic, and there was like lots of like things blowing up and like all these actions.
Yeah, it felt like Nollywood.
No, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, let me stretch it back. Channel 5.
Did you expect the twist?
For the night agent or?
Yeah, the night agent.
So, no. Not really. Because I was just like, okay, we're seeing so many shady characters, yeah. But I was like, surely this woman is not going to be a traitor. I was like, I can't. Lo and behold, it was her.
I think when I realised it was her, I actually shouted.
Yeah, it got me. It actually did. But I watched this show, The Diplomat, off the back of that thinking, okay, I'm in the mood for this. I was watching it and I was kind of like, this is not giving.
It's very dry, but it's, I don't know how to explain it.
It was giving American.
Mm.
Yeah, actually
that's a good, yeah, very American.
It's very American actually,
and it's giving American in regards to how it was trying to give socially conscious America, if that means, do you get what I mean?
Kind of.
So like when I'm saying it's giving American, it's like it's giving American in regards to how they see the rest of the world, but then they were trying to make out that we know that we see the world this way, so we're trying to call ourselves out, but it still felt very American. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe that, but that's...
I get what you mean. Mm-hmm. I think even showing, like, the relationship between Britain and America, that was very interesting to see.
Mm.
And the Prime Minister...
Yeah.
You can tell, even him, he was trying to prove that Britain is great.
It was a bit corny, like, the dialogue and everything. Like,
yeah.
When the woman was like, oh my gosh, this child has lost... his father in like the explosion, you know, like when he was given the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cringe.
You're a liar.
I was like, oh,
I know if this
cringe.
Was a real Brit, they would be saying some more things than that. You're a liar. You wouldn't do that.
That would have been very different. So like you saying that it's a very American show, I also feel like it was very American in like the style of it and like mm-hmm. the way the dialogue was set up and like the way they delivered their lines. It felt very like, I kind of see your point about it being like a comedy almost, because it's just like the way they were talking, it could have been like How I Met Your Mother, except mm-hmm. it was just a political backdrop.
Literally, it was a comedy script in a serious environment.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
That's
come
what
on.
It was. If they just changed it to an apartment building and they were all in their 20s, it would be Friends.
That is actually kind of a wild statement. Friends, it's so unrelated, but I actually hear it. It kind of would be that. So is there anything else that you liked about it in particular?
I think I really liked seeing her husband uncomfortable. I don't know, and I think throughout the whole show I kept asking myself, do I like this guy or not? Because he was sometimes really annoying, but then sometimes I'm like, okay, I get why he did that. But then also I'm like, what's your game plan here?
Was he shady? Like, was he like...
I haven't finished it yet. Yeah, I'm halfway through.
Was he shady from like the whole of this season? Mm-hmm. No. Like, everything he was doing was to help her.
Fine.
But yeah. Towards the end, we start to see, or she starts to imply that maybe he wants like a Secretary of State role or something like that.
Yeah.
So then she's starting to think you're doing this because you want something out of it.
100%.
So that's why you're trying to help me.
Because
I don't think he was made to be at the in the background like that and just do nothing.
I think those narrative arcs, they'll turn against each other eventually. Definitely. They'll both be competing against each other. But then with the husband, like, I like their friendship.
Yeah. That's what kept them. That's what kept them together. I want to know more though about what happened. About that. Like, why?
That's another thing. I was surprised they were getting a divorce. I don't know if it was I wasn't paying attention, but what happened specifically? Like, when did that? I don't know when that was revealed.
They didn't. They didn't really go into detail about why they're getting divorced. It was just more about. I feel like it's the whole his dynamic and how he is.
Mm.
It's more about I want to do this. I think also she feels like he's never going to change. Mm.
He's not. Like, is he a narcissist? Is that the word? Like, it's almost like, I feel like he actually is diagnosed with something.
Wow.
I'm not joking. No, I'm being
serious. He's really weird, though.
I'm serious. Like, I think he's like, I might be wrong, but I feel like it will be revealed that he's a diagnosed narcissist and he can't help himself. If that makes sense.
That's true. He can't help himself. That's definitely
and
true.
And he knows he can't help himself because he said a line that I think it's like in episode 2 where he said that all people who want power shouldn't be allowed it. Or do you get what I mean? Mm. Or people that don't like power should be the ones that are given it. And like he knows that he likes power. That's why he's not.
Fine.
He's aware of his flaws.
I totally get it because there was that whole scene, right? And he was talking to that black guy. I don't know his name.
I think it's Stuart.
How you reduce us. Just like that.
I think his name's Stuart.
Don't call me a racist.
Is he the one that's like helping her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him a name, Stuart. Say Stuart. His name.
I think his name, yeah.
Stuart. the point I was trying to make is that Stuart had found out that he was getting a divorce. And he, I don't know, it was a kind of assumption that she's going to take me back. And it was that awareness that, yeah, I do things that she doesn't like, but she's going to take me back and I'm not going to do them anymore. I feel like that was just almost self-aware in a bad way because it's like, you know, you're a terrible person, but there doesn't seem to be any remorse around that. That's it's kind of just like
methodically,
I'm just not going to do that thing. Rather than like, why am I not doing it again? It's hurting her. This sort of thing. It's just like, okay, she'll take me back, but I won't do it again.
I think exactly what you said, because they're friends, he knows her. He almost knows her more than she knows herself. Even like, if you notice, there's this like thing that kept happening every time they had breakfast. How he'll rip out the food. Like,
and she'll be eating the scraps. Oh, I found that so weird.
And like, so the black guy, Stuart, he's basically the audience because he's looking at them like, what is this? So he'll come in, he'll rip out all the breakfast, eat full English. He'll be ripping up the egg, mashing it up.
Rip full English
and
before.
He wouldn't even eat it. And then he will leave. Then she'll come in and she'll be sitting down eating it. And the black guy's like, what's going on? Like they're so like in sync.
It's very good. You didn't notice that. It was when he was breaking the egg with his hand.
I was like, what's going on? And he was doing every morning. He'll be doing that for her.
That is weird.
And that's the only way she'll eat breakfast
if it's ripped.
So like, I don't know. Is that they're very codependent?
Yeah, they definitely need each other. But then it was like the part that kind of this is why I'm still convinced that there is something wrong with him. No, I'm not joking. You know when she started beating him up?
What, in the garden?
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
Nah, it was necessary.
She jumped on him and she was like,
yeah, she really
took
went
out because she knew that she had, that's the only, if you don't, you know.
Yeah, Phil. That's literally it. Because she was really, really going for it.
For it. She said something. It's like, when you said that we'll get a divorce after 10 years, did you mean it? And he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
He just knows how to manipulate.
I don't think he wants to. He doesn't want a divorce.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care for that.
For a divorce. Yeah, I don't think he wants a divorce.
Does he even love her? He doesn't. He loves himself. And he loves the job. And he likes people knowing him and seeing him as a hero.
Because wasn't like the whole point of her getting this job because of him anyway? Kind of his reputation kind of forged the path for her to do this anyway. Definitely an ego trip there.
But then would you still want the same job as like your husband? Like,
no.
Doesn't even just brings the whole conversation to like this whole marriage situation and like, would you want to be in the same like industry or be working? Do you get what I mean? Like, isn't that competition? You say, babe, I love you, but you're competing. You're my opponent.
But does it have to be that way, though?
Does it?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be competitive.
But then it depends on, for example, Beyonce and Jay-Z, right? People always kind of pit them against each other, or they call, like, Jay-Z Beyonce's husband. Like,
and they're very intentional about that.
Exactly. It's a bit wild. And I feel like, ego-wise, for both of you, wouldn't you be like, mate, I want to be taken seriously for my accolades, what I've done?
I think people do take Jay-Z
seriously. Yeah, that's the thing. They're just playing, man. Yeah, they're just playing. Just trying to wind him up.
Yeah.
They take him seriously.
Because if you like, I'll bring the second one then.
Even like Pharrell Williams' show, how him and Jay-Z performed together. Mm-hmm. And he'll send the crowd to clap and they'll clap in out of that offbeat. And he says, stop. And everyone, like, people respect that man. he said, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it. You guys are not getting
really
the beat.
Funny when you think about it.
Like, he said, don't worry about it. Just forget it. Just forget I asked. Yeah. So I feel like people respect, they're just playing.
I think they do. Maybe a good example is almost Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin.
No, those are two different industries. Really? Don't bring in Justin and Hailey. Hailey catches corn for no reason. Leave her alone.
I like a little all of you TikTok. People,
leave her alone.
It's like her walking into a dead end alley and it's just trying to, like, it's just secondhand embarrassment every single time.
She did nothing to you
she
guys.
She actually didn't. I don't even hate her.
Yeah, I have nothing.
I just logged into TikTok and suddenly everyone just hates
people
her online.
For Hailey. The ones I was going to use as a reference, right? Mm. Laura Whitmore and that man, Ian Sterling, Love Island. Do you watch Love Island?
Kind of, but no. Not
so
consistent.
Tonight, the voiceover.
Yeah.
Oh, them? Yeah. Okay,
And the ex-presenter, who's not Maya Jama. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Husband and wife.
Yeah.
People are pitting them against each other.
Really?
Or they didn't rate her, but they rated him. Imagine going home to dinner that night.
She must be crying all the time.
Oh. That's true, actually.
Aww. Yeah.
They did not like her.
It was the aww. I'm
actually thinking about it. Like, imagine her coming home always like...
Because people are dragging her life. And people are gassing his jokes off or laughing about what he has to say. Like, do you gotta
You'd have to have really thick skin for that. I don't know. I think, would I date someone in the same industry? I didn't get the sense it would be competitive. I just think it's boring. Like, if we're coming home from work, we're talking about the same things. Like, I want to be able to, like, learn, like, have a bit of separation. Because taking, like, work home and then still talking about the work that you do at home just seems really repetitive and really boring. Then you can relate, but it's just like, yeah, I don't know.
But then it's like a middle ground as well. It's like, yeah, I don't need to explain what I do.
Just get it.
You just get it. And then you guys can both talk about things, you know?
Maybe not the same, like, related employer.
Yeah.
Okay. That's when it's too much.
Those
like,
love couples, I can't be doing
not the same employer. Maybe that one's a bit.
I work in a really big company, though. And I'm just like...
You want to do a workplace romance?
Yeah, but, like, you can honestly see one person and never see them again.
Patricia, who have you got your eyes on?
No one. That's the thing. No. Well, there's a few, like, good-looking people in my office, don't get me wrong. But it's so big that, honestly, you could probably feel like you're working in a different place.
Mm.
Like, that's how... big and separate it is. Yeah.
But I don't know, but I feel like either way is fine. I think everyone just needs to be secure in themselves.
It's true. Mm.
Like, just be secure in yourself and your abilities and want to push each other to be the best that they can be rather than being threatened. I just find that strange.
What if you're not good?
Not good in that, and but the other person is good. What do you guys think about people doing things they're not good at, though?
What do you mean?
Doing what, sorry?
Like, pursuing things they're not good at.
But do they know that they're not good at it?
I guess it depends.
Are you thinking about, like, music?
I think just in general. But then wait. I don't know, because you're always gonna be a beginner. Like, wait, I don't know why you guys are laughing.
Why are you laughing like this? Is there something that you're thinking about? I actually don't know what's going on. I'm just as clueless as you, by the way.
Well, basically what I'm trying to say is... that you will be a beginner at one point. No?
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on the stage you're meeting them at. If...
Oh my God.
I don't know.
But like, where's the line between like, you just need to persevere, it's not your time, versus this is actually not your lane,
it's and not you're for not good you. At this. But you don't want to be the one to tell them that it's not, and then they blow, and then you were that person that
hey,
they, you were the motivation them. They needed to fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes as well, deep down, we know when to let things go.
It's true.
It depends what your goal is with the thing you're doing.
Mm.
If it's a hobby, just doing it for fun. Mm. If you actually want to get good at it. If it's a natural talent.
Yeah.
It just depends on the context.
Yeah. I feel like the society that we're in almost rewards mediocrity. Is it mediocrity or tea?
Tea.
Mm-hmm. Mediocrity. Every so often on TikTok, there's like another rapper like popping up, and it's just sometimes it won't even be the best thing you've ever heard, but because it's like blown or it's gone viral, or like there's something like interesting about them, like their look or something, then suddenly you latch onto it, and then it can catapult you into like fame, and then it's just a matter of maintaining that. So it's like this brand deal or this song with this person, and then suddenly you're just established, and all it took was that one mediocre moment to get you there. So sometimes it's not even about the talent. Sometimes it's literally just the mix of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And
I actually agree.
Yeah, and just go, like, that's really what it's about now.
Yeah, this life, I don't think it's about talent anymore, which is so sad.
Mm.
And I hope that this is a season. I hope it's not long-term longevity. Mm. But I think it's about audience. Audience is value. Once you capture an audience, you have the world.
It's true.
Before you needed talent to be given an audience.
Yeah.
Now you need audience to kind of buy talent.
Yeah.
That's actually so true. Because how many like really good singers do you know that you think should be like, up there that are still...
They're fighting. They're struggling.
It's so true.
It's kind of crazy.
I think social media is definitely to blame.
Because it's democratized... Oh, gosh. This is how I enter my bag. It's democratized fame, right? So it means that anyone can become famous. And initially it sounded cool. And it sounded like, yeah, we've made it easy, but it literally means that anyone can be famous for doing nothing. And then we've seen it heightened by the fact that you can buy your verification ticks, if that makes sense. I don't understand. Do you understand it?
What, the blue tick thing?
If you have a job that requires for you to be verified.
Yeah.
But now I think because everyone can verify themselves, it just means that we do it so that we feel like we're valuable. Like we're telling the world that I have value. Like I mean something. And I just think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But what do you think? What are your thoughts on that? Am I overthinking it?
No, I think I agree. Because with the blue tick, I had a blue tick because of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got removed. I'm like, okay.
Wait, they took away everyone that had them. They took them away.
Yeah.
Every single person's blue tick is gone. Yeah. Unless Elon Musk has chosen you to have it, or you've bought it.
You have to, yeah.
Wow.
Even if it doesn't matter if your job anymore, like
you'll see Lizzo, no blue tick.
Yeah,
celebrities, no blue tick. Well, yeah, unless you, it was to encourage people to actually pay for the blue tick.
So then, if we all pay for blue ticks, what happens? I think if it's for your career or no, I just think if people are pretending to be you, I understand. But if not, I think it's just to say that I'm a serious person, and I hope you don't investigate too much on my profile to see.
But there isn't even any perks, like.
It might boost your post, maybe, but like...
Does it?
Nah, man, it's no perks. It's just there.
It's not really anything, to be honest. I think it's also like retweets and likes. It blows hot air up your backside, basically. Because it's like, it makes you... Because once you say something and it goes viral, it makes you feel like, oh, let me get that rush again. So it's just like, what can I say? And then it's like a constant thing of needing to fuel that gratification that you get from strangers online, which is really interesting.
But yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation, guys.
This was entertaining.
Me too.
Sure. That's it for today's episode of That Would Bang podcast, which I hope you all enjoyed. Thank you to Yolante for joining us on this episode. You can follow her at
Yolante Falhinmi.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.